Very excited to be here, and God is just doing some great things in our life, and I'll be talking about that here in a little bit. But I'd like to sing a song for you, and I'll do it in English, Russian, and Hungarian now. And oh, happy day, and it was a happy day when the Lord saved me. And it was good to meet some friends that know some friends from Alaska. We've actually never met them, but they know a lot of our friends in Alaska. And boy, we had a good time in Alaska when we were flying in and out of the far east of Russia. But now we're in Hungary, and I want to be talking a lot about that. But oh, happy day here. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, okay? So pray for me. I'm trying to do three languages here. All right. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. O divni den, o divni chas, kagda spasityo pervyras, zdushoy mayev, zavyet stupil, i mir mye sertsu padaril. Divni den, kagda gospod menya prostil, stik por Christos sigda so mnoy, и водит сам меня рукой. Дивный день, когда Господь меня простил. О, Бог на помеянен, мег валтом эльфо гаталак, урвен севем, мон язенем, a corner tem hir gamadat na napom sep napom le moshte Jesus binumet ebren lesek imat kazom bened orvendek Jesusom na napom sep napom le moshte Jesus benumet. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Let's do that chorus, amen? Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want to preach tonight on the subject, the balance of missions. The balance of missions. Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. It is an honor to be here tonight. Like I said, we just got back Friday night, late from Budapest, Hungary. And the reason we're back is our daughter Sharon is getting married this Friday night, just a couple nights, two nights, to a young man, Andrew Christian, who is at the Community Baptist Temple there in Akron with Brother Mark O'Donnell. Yeah. And they actually started a Bible college this year, Legacy Baptist Bible College. And brother, our son-in-law Andrew, future son-in-law, is teaching Old Testament survey drives a bus for the bus ministry and has a nursing home ministry. So praise the Lord. It's exciting what God is doing in our life. And our pastor, Pastor Folger from Cleveland Baptist, came to Budapest last December. And our church is hosting the global meeting in September, the 20th to the 22nd. And he had asked if possibly we were going to be back in the States, if we could come back for that. And so I told our daughter that we're going to be planning on coming back for that. So if you've got, if you're thinking about getting married in the fall, this would be a good time. So we're actually killing two birds with one stone, they say. I don't know if it's politically correct anymore to say that, but who cares, amen? I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm happy about it, amen?
Yeah.
And I'm not a Pentecostal, but I'm a Baptist, but I do get happy. And I can remember one time I was up in Traverse City, Michigan, walking around, and I was going to be at a church on that weekend, and I was going through a store pushing the cart, and they actually had Christmas music playing on the radio, and they were singing Joy to the World, and let me tell you, I just got happy, and I just started singing along with it. And boy, people look at you and just wave at them, hi, how are you doing? I'm happy about the Lord coming, and I'm just thankful for what God is doing in my life. It is well with my soul tonight. It is well with my soul. But I'm troubled. I'm troubled. Our country is in a mess. Our country is in a mess. Politicians have lied to us on both sides of the spectrum, okay? I am not picking on anybody in particular, okay? And even more sad is our church. The church is in trouble tonight. The church is in trouble tonight. And I want to give you the answer, okay? Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
We need to be involved in politics. We need to be involved in the things of our country, but more than that, we need to be involved in the things of our Savior.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about tonight. To make a long story short, and I know, I listen to a lot of preaching on, whether on the internet or on CD or whatever, and one of the things that I'm getting really tired of hearing, okay, for the sake of time. You know, for the sake of time, we're not going to read the scripture very much. For the sake of time, we're going to skip through some things. And I just wish we could, you know, and maybe it's one of my pet peeves or whatever, but, you know, we can go to a ball game, sit there for 3 hours. We can put on a DVD and we can sit there for 2 hours and maybe watch another one after that. You know? A verse the Lord showed me there in Ecclesiastes, and the context is about going and talking to the king, okay, a physical king at that time. And the first part of the verse says, be not hasty to go out of his sight.
Yeah.
You're invited for an audience to have supper with the king, so to speak,
right.
Okay? Well, you know, King, we better hurry up here. I only got an hour, and I got to get back home. I got things going on at home, you know. I mean, you've been invited to the White House or something, you know, when George Bush was in there, amen.
Right.
And you want the whole package, amen. Even if you're on a diet, you're going to have the cream pie or whatever's for dessert. I mean, you're not going to skip anything. You're going to sit back and just talk or whatever. Or you've been out invited to the ranch there in Texas for barbecue, amen.
Yeah.
Well, this better hurry up. I got to be out. I got to be home in an hour. You know, that's just one of my pet peeves. But if I had a dollar for every time I heard it, could probably take the whole church out for supper after, or for dessert after, or something. Could borrow some gift cards too, I'm sure. But but 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago in November, we came back to the States for furlough. Russia had changed some of their laws about visas. We were making plans to go to Mongolia to get new visas and just come right back. But as it turned out, we had to come all the way to the States to get new visas. And our son and his wife, Liberty, had, Amos and Liberty, they had a little girl that had a very serious medical condition. And some of you have asked about that tonight. She's still basically the same and probably will be unless God just touches her. I mean, that's the way she is. She is, she's going to be 3 this November, and it's a miracle she's still alive. But the medical condition. It's called non-ketotic hyperglycinemia, and the glycine level is so high that it acts like a poison with the muscles and the nerves. So she's almost 3 years old, but she can't even hold her head up. That's how she really can't move voluntarily, and she's just they're still going through some struggles with that. But so anyhow, that all she was born that same time, so we came back, and the Lord brought us back to the States for a furlough time. And then during that time, I met a pastor, a retired pastor from Ohio that had a ministry in the Ukraine. And that following summer, 2008, I went to the Ukraine for several weeks, went into Moldova and into Romania and Hungary. And I thought, boy, you know, the Ukraine would be nice, but, you know, there were a lot of Americans there. Moldova, I enjoyed Moldova. Went to Romania, spent some time with a missionary friend of mine there. Then I went over to Hungary, Brother Walter Stevens, and from our church in Cleveland. And they asked me to pray about taking over the ministry of a missionary that was on furlough at the time, going to be on furlough for another 10 months. And I really was not interested in going to Budapest, to Hungary, to learn another language, and it is a very difficult language. It's not Slavic, it's not Latin. It's totally different from everything in Europe and Asia, and it's very, very difficult to learn. But, you know, all this time I've been praying, I felt like God wanted to, you know, I've been praying, Lord, I want to go up to the next level. You know, I don't even know what that is, you know. But, Lord, I want to go up to the next level, and I want to do something, you know, maybe bigger or whatever than something you'd have me to do. And they said, would you pray about coming to Budapest? And I just said flat out, well, you know, I'll pray about it. But in my heart, I'm thinking, but I'm not coming to Budapest. A couple days later, I was up early in the morning praying, reading my Bible, and the Lord seemed to speak to my heart and say, you want to go to the next level? Yes, sir. Amen. And he said, how about Budapest? Brother Roger Green was there from Middletown.
Yeah.
And he was there for a leadership conference, has been a supporting pastor for a long time. And I went over and talked with him in that same morning. And he said, you know, not only am I excited for you, I've been praying about it. And I've been reading your letters, you know, about all the visa problems and everything. Well, anyhow, we ended up going to Budapest 2 years ago. And God has really, really done some wonderful things. One of the things that really grabbed a hold of me was the fact that Budapest is the capital city of Hungary. It's right in the geographical center of Europe, and there are over 2 million people there. And at the time that we decided to go there, there was only one independent Baptist church in that whole city of over 2 million people. Now, the whole country has about 10.5 million people, and there's just a handful of missionaries that are there, and not all of them are King James.
Wow.
Not all of them are King James, and there's only a handful of independent Baptist national pastors there, and, you know, a couple of those aren't strong on the King James either. Mm. Or not far as King James, but having an inerrant Bible, okay? And let me say this about inerrancy. How can you have an inerrant Bible without some kind of inspiration?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, I don't want to, you know, can I just give you an opinion? Some people got too much time on their hands. They got too much money in the bank, and they got too much time on their hands.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Come to the mission field.
Yeah.
Come to the mission field. The word of God is quick,
yes,
and powerful.
Yes.
Quick means alive.
Yes.
Inspiration deals with the breath of God.
Yes.
If God did not breathe into Adam's nostrils, he'd still be a clump of mud there on the ground.
Right.
Right.
That's good, brother.
Good preaching.
I believe this book right here.
Yeah, Lord, we do too.
And can I say this?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how, if anybody is still up on the challenge last time. But I have written out 24 books of the New Testament in Hungarian so far. And I'm also trying to learn Romanian. Amen? Because it's related to Spanish. And if I lived in the United States, I'd be learning Spanish as fast as I could.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And I'm also learning New Testament Greek. I had a year of it a long time ago. But a man told me that there's mistakes in my King James Bible because he's using the wrong Greek. Well, the Greek alphabet's pretty close to Russian, amen? I can read the Greek New Testament. I could read it out loud tonight, okay? I can tell when they take out the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Yeah. Yes. In those new Bibles, they take Jesus Christ out of the text.
Right. We're staying with the old book.
My first sermon, if ever I get a chance or an opportunity to preach in those churches, I'm going to preach 1 Corinthians 16:22. Better look out. We are standing on holy ground tonight.
Yes. Yes.
I look at the flags. I like them. I like Amen. The flags. And I will say this, I love America, and I am an American. My passport is USA, but I'm a Christian first.
Yes.
And I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
Okay.
And we are too.
But if you come to America, you need to learn English. Amen. Amen. Okay, you need to learn English. But I will say this, everybody that helped us in Russia and everybody that's helping us now in Hungary speak English. When I got to Russia, I didn't know Russian. And I had a young lady that was in high school that spent a year in Alaska as an exchange student, got saved, came back to Russia, and the first day that I was her English teacher. What's the thing you miss about America? I figured they'd say Walmart, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, yeah. And all, and some of them did. But this young lady said, I miss my church, where I got saved. And after the class, I told her that I'm an independent Baptist missionary, and I've come here to start church.
Amen.
And we started church in our apartment on Sunday, and she was my interpreter. And we had a blast.
Yep.
We had a blast. Acts chapter 1, I could go here for 40 minutes just as an introduction. But anyhow, so when we went there, when I first went there, there was only one independent Baptist church for all those people. Another thing, there are over 200 Catholic churches in Budapest alone. There are probably hundreds of Protestant churches, Reformed. There are probably many, many, I don't know how many, but many Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox churches. And they tell me that Hungary has the highest suicide in all of Europe. The highest suicide rate in all of Europe. Last February, I took a 3-week intensive course in Hungarian, and there was a man from Germany and other people from different countries as well. But the man from Germany said, no, I think that Germany has the number one suicide in Europe. The man from Sweden said, no, I think Sweden has the number one suicide rate in Europe. And I said to the class, I said, isn't that tragic? We have three countries of the world here, three countries of Europe here, competing, as it were, for the highest suicide rate in Europe.
Yeah.
Religion is not the answer. Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
So we've been in Budapest now for 2 years, and we had two families in our church when we got there, and our interpreter and his family make a third. The interpreter is not a member of our church. He's actually a member of the Baptist Union Church, and the Baptist Union Church is connected to the World Council of Churches. And, you know, compromise, and, you know, just I'd like to see him join our team or whatever. But we still have the same two families. We do have a lot of visitors from all around the world. We have a web page, and we have people from all over the world coming to our church when they visit. And one of the men in our church has been trained. I'm probably training him to be the pastor, but he's actually in charge now. He's doing a lot of the preaching while I'm back here right now. God is it's really exciting what's going on there. There was a man got saved this summer while I was going down the tourist areas, passing out literature, talking to people. And this man lives in a town on the Hungarian-Austrian border. And possibly after the tourist season's over, he's going to go back to his hometown. And there might be an opportunity to get a church started, or at least a Bible study started in his hometown. And we're praying about that. But also, I got an email from a guy from Vienna, Austria, and he's an Austrian. It's 3 hours to the west of us, and he wants to go to a Bible-believing Baptist church.
Amen.
The sad thing is, there are missionaries in Austria, in Vienna, but he wants to go to a Bible-believing Baptist church. And he told me he'd be willing to come all the way to Budapest for church, 3 hours.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, before I left, I said, we're going to be going away, but when we come back, if there's still an interest, I'd be willing to go to Vienna to start a church. Man, I got to tell you, I'm excited what God's doing. But you know, the most exciting thing of all, and preacher mentioned it, so I told the people, I got that same poster as in our church, our mission, the mission. And I told them, I want to have a church that reaches out to the whole world.
Yeah.
Our prayer cards say missionaries to the world from Budapest, Hungary. So far, God has allowed us to put tracts into the hands of people from 65 countries of the world. In less than 2 years. I asked the other missionaries there, how many of you guys have passed out any tracts to Chinese people? Zero. I still remember the first time in Russia when I got to Russia and I saw the Chinese and I got some Chinese tracts. I still remember the first time that I gave an Oriental man a Chinese tract. And he looked at it and he said, I can't read Chinese. And I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Vietnam. Sent an email, got some Vietnamese tracts. And I remember the time that I gave an Oriental man a Chinese tract. He said, I can't read Chinese. I gave him a Vietnamese tract. He said, I can't read Vietnamese. I go, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Korea. And I'm thinking, he's probably from North Korea. Because they're not escaping from South Korea to go to Siberia. 65 countries of the world.
Amen.
I can remember the time, for some reason, I was going downtown to do some things on the subway and was sitting there on the car, really for no reason at all, just kind of discouraged, you know, maybe a little bit depressed. And the car stopped and some college girls got on, and a couple of them sat by me, and a couple of them were standing up, and they were talking 90 miles an hour, and I'm listening to them talk in some different language, and there's a pause, you know, and I say, excuse me, do any of you girls speak English? And they said, oh, yeah, we speak English, and they spoke pretty well. And I said, where are you from? And they said, we're from Iran. And I gave them all an English track. And I told them, I said, I know that the politics between our countries isn't very good right now, but I said, I'm honored to meet you. Amen. Boom, that fast the train stopped, they got off. And as the subway got going again, I got to tell you, I almost started crying. Of all the places I could have been in the world for that minute and a half, God had me on a subway car downtown Budapest where I got to give some tracks to some Iranian college girls.
Amen.
They're looking for the truth.
Yes, they are.
They are looking for the truth.
Amen.
And it wasn't a Jehovah Witness that gave them a tract. It was an Independent Baptist.
Amen.
And they know, whatever they've heard about America, they know that this guy loves them and is honored to meet them. And I've met a bunch of people from a lot of different countries. You can imagine, 65 countries of the world. I'm not going to preach too long on this, but I do want to share this with you because I really believe it'll help us. Verse 1, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both, listen to that, both, balance, both, to do and to teach. Jesus told the disciples to beware of the Pharisees, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisies, for they do and they say not. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they say, but they don't do. They don't practice what they preach.
Right.
And can I say this? The tragedy of the book of Proverbs is that Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, that God gave him the wisdom that he had, did not practice his own preaching. For I think it's at least three whole chapters, Solomon warns us to beware of the evil woman, the strange woman. He did not follow his own preaching, and he fell because of all of the strange women that he had. But Jesus, our Savior, began both to do and teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many reliable proofs. Phooey! Hogwash. Infallible proofs. How infallible was it? When Thomas saw the Lord, what did he say? My Lord and my God. Yep. He knew who he was.
Yes.
Who he is. Many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I just finished reading the book of Joshua before I came over. And by the way, I'm still reading the Bible every month. I've spent some time today. I'm writing out Acts chapter 1 in Hungarian today, and I've got 24 books of the New Testament done in Hungarian. And let me tell you something. I'm also trying to read the Bible, study the Bible in Romanian, and also New Testament Greek, but I'm also keeping up on my Russian because I'm meeting a lot of Russians, and I want to try to have services in Russian. And I want to have services in English with the Africans, amen, that I meet from Nigeria and Uganda and Kenya and Zambia and all these places from Africa. And so I'm trying to study the Bible in five languages now. And can I tell you, my Bible reading is probably more exciting to me than it's ever been in my whole life. I'm 52 years old, and I finally found out what I want to be when I grow up. And I'm not there yet, amen? I'm not grown up yet. I'm still on my way, amen?
Amen.
But I want to be a linguist, and I want to be a missionary, and I'm going to preach to people in their own language. That's what I want to do. The promise of God. When Joshua went into the promised land, God gave him some wonderful promises, and it says, there hath not failed aught of anything that God has promised us through his servant Moses. God keeps his promises. And one of the promises, and many of the promises, have to deal with the Word of God. The Word of God. God has promised to preserve His Word. Yeah. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Right.
God keeps His promises. And if God doesn't keep one promise, how do I know
that
I'll be saved in the end?
These
things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know that I'm saved by what's written in the Bible. These things have I written unto you, that's your joy.
Yeah.
That's your joy. May be full. Why do so many Christians have long faces? I'd like to ask them how much time they spend in the Bible every day. I believe in tithing, preacher. And as a missionary, I tithe to my home church. And I give to missions to my home church. But I give 3 hours a day to the Lord.
Amen.
In devotional, prayerful reading and study of the Scriptures. Not preparing sermons. Can I be honest with you? I don't prepare sermons. I prepare me. Folks, I could be here till midnight just telling you what God's done just in the last few weeks. I was going through my list, 59 countries, thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to hit any more. How many more I'm going to be able to get? I mean, man, 59 is a lot of countries. Brother Walter had a group come over from Ohio, and we got invited to go downtown with him and help kind of taxi him around a little bit. God gave me three more. Three more countries. Two of the men were from Kuwait. And I said, Kuwait, they're speaking English, and I gave them some English tracks. And I said, oh, Kuwait, I said, liberate Kuwait, 1991. I said, I'm from the USA. And man, they got big smile. Oh, USA, oh, man, wow. But I want to liberate Kuwait more than just from,
yeah.
Of course, Saddam Hussein won't be bothering him anymore. And then I went out last week or 2 weeks ago, and I met three more people from three different countries. Met a guy from Iceland, met a guy from Laos, down by Cambodia, by Vietnam. Man, there's joy. There's joy in serving Jesus. We were on the boat ride. Our daughter Lydia came there, and we took her down on a boat ride down on the Danube River. If you ever want to go on a beautiful place on vacation, come to Budapest. We live upstairs in the church. We got room for like 15 people. We got like beds for like 15 people there. If you want to come to Budapest, please come. And we were on the boat there, and we heard someone behind us speak in Russian. And so I turned around, and I talked to the man right behind me, and he spoke English. He's from Andorra. Now, how many people know where Andorra is? Andorra is you know where it is? Okay. All right. I'm sure you do. Where is it at? Go ahead and tell us. That's exactly right. And it's the border of France and Spain are like this, and it's a little circle right in the middle. And there's 80,000 of them, according to Operation World, the copy that I have. And it's several years old. But they told me that it tells me that there are no known true believers of Jesus Christ that are Andorran. Listen to this. God put one on the boat. I could touch him with my hand. I don't know if he got saved, but he got a track. You know what that tells me? I am in the right place. And I'm begging God to save that man. There might be believers now that are Andorran. They're very Catholic. But God had one on the boat, less than a yard away from me. Whew, man, I tell you what, that is exciting. God keeps his promise. Let's go on. For John truly baptized, he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, people are talking about, you know, as the baptism, you know, I know when we get saved, we get the filling of the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit. I know that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about be filled with the Spirit of God. And I know that we are baptized one time as when we get saved, but we are filled many times. Okay, I understand all that. But let's go on here to verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And I want to tie this together with verse 5 about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Listen carefully. There are still some things I don't know about this book. Deuteronomy, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things which are revealed are belong to us. The things that I know, there are some things I don't know, but I know this. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. There's the balance. In Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And as we yield our lives to Christ and study His Word, God will fill us with the power of God. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the end of verse 20, He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, if you go, I will go with you. The promise, the power, and the power of God, as I see it in verse 8, is very clear. We receive the power of God to be witnesses to the whole world. Let me ask you a question. I opened a can of worms, the preacher said, Sunday morning. I'm going to open one again, okay? You like to go to Mexican restaurants? Amen? You don't like Mexican food? Oh, I love Mexican food. But you know what? Have you ever passed out a Spanish track? Have you ever been to a Chinese buffet? You don't like Chinese buffet either? Man, I go to Chinese buffet, and you know what? I pass out Chinese tracks. And I even have Vietnamese tracks for the Vietnamese that work there also. How many times are we only thinking about, you know, white American people? Where are the people in America learning Spanish in the independent Baptist churches? Where are the people in our churches learning Chinese? Where are the people in our churches learning Arabic? Chinese and Arabic are on my 20-year plan, okay? If God gives me 20 more years, I want to learn some Chinese. I want to learn some Arabic. I want to learn some Hebrew. I want to learn as many languages as I can. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both. We need to be witnesses for the Lord both at home and all around the world. Amen. That is the balance of missions. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you gave someone a gospel tract and told them about the Lord? You know, in the U.S., there are a lot of people complaining about the illegal immigration. Can I tell you, it's either going to be the biggest problem that America's ever had, or it's going to be the biggest opportunity for us. It's awful quiet. Can I tell you that I've been preaching about this for probably 4 or 5 years now? And when I was in Washington State, I found a church that has the right answer. They have a Spanish ministry now that runs over 800 people. And this was 2 years ago. This was 2.5 years ago. They have a Spanish-speaking pastor now for the Spanish church that they've started that's running 2.5 years ago, over 800 people. They are helping them to get legal. Amen. They're helping them to get legal. They have a Bible Institute where they are training them and training the men for the work of the ministry, because they have met some Americans that love them and want to help them, and they get a burden for their families back home. They help them to get, the church helps them to get legal. They help them to train them in their Bible Institute. They help them to raise some support. And 2.5 years ago, they had 27 families back in Mexico as independent Baptist church planters. That is the right answer. Don't curse the darkness. Turn the light on.
Amen. That's good.
Turn the light on. Ye shall. Positive tense, present tense. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. For what purpose?
Witness.
To be a witness.
Yep.
To be a witness. We got in Friday night, Cleveland Airport, and we saw some military people there checking or getting their bags. And I went up, shook their hand, thanked them for their service, gave them a track. Amen. I wear a multi-pocketed vest, got tracks all kinds. I wear a pouch. I got like 15 different languages in that little pouch there. And I told them, I said, I'm a soldier for Jesus Christ. I want to see the power of God in my life. I want to see what God could do if I would just let Him. If I would just let God work in my life, I wonder how much He could do. I wonder how much more He could do. I see your picture on the wall. Man, I tell you, every time I come back, I wonder when you're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Could it happen?
Yeah.
Sure could. Sure could.
God
has no problem. God does not have a money problem. God does not have a visa problem. And you know what else? I thought I had a problem in Russia, but God moved me to Budapest.
That's right.
And last winter, I was studying the Bible in those five languages. And I was thinking, you know, if I had stayed in Russia, I wouldn't have been doing that.
Right.
And I just wonder what God has for me in the future. I just wonder what God's preparing me for in the future. Well, I know what He's preparing me for. We might be starting a church in Vienna, Austria. That'd be awesome. Oh, man, I could. We've been to Croatia. We have friends in Croatia. They're doing fantastic down there. Let's go on here, verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." The balance of missions. We need to follow our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only taught it, but He did it. He not only did it, but He taught it. We need to do both like the Lord Jesus Christ did. We have infallible proofs of God. We have the answer. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." We have the truth. We are responsible to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Infallible proofs. We have the promise of God. The never failing promise of God. There are some things that we don't know. But praise God, there's a lot of things that we do know. Our problem is not that we're doing too much. Our problem is that we are not doing what we know to do. One time I was in a church. I know I should be witnessing. I know this. You know this. One time I was in a church preaching, preached on Sunday morning, had a great time preaching. There were a couple men there that were visiting, and one of the men, his dad was a preacher, but he was looking for a church, and they heard that the pastor was going to be leaving. So the dad came back that night, and all the several men there heard me preach. And I preached and just poured my heart out about taking the gospel to the whole world. And after church, those men came up to me and they said, we have a question for you, a Bible question. I said, sure. And I don't know what to expect, you know, but I said, sure, go ahead. And they said, so what do you think about the judgments in Revelation? Are they chronological, or did they all happen at one time? And I just looked at him and I said, I really think you guys got way too much time on your hands.
I like that. Good for you.
I said, you know, it's like, is that the big question of the day now in independent Baptist circles amongst the preachers? Can I be honest with you? People are dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
And you guys are worried about, are the judgments chronicle or chronological? Did they happen one at a time, or were they spread out, or did they all happen, you know, simultaneously? Or why don't we just grab a handful of tracts and just go out and pass them all out by next Sunday? Amen. And see what God can do. Amen.
Yeah.
But the power of God given to us to be witnesses, and then last of all, the urgency.
Yes.
The urgency. Some of the things going on in the world right now, I haven't usually when we're in Hungary, I look at Fox News quite a bit on the internet. I haven't even looked at the news since last Friday. But Iran was firing up the reactor.
Yeah, yeah.
With the help of Russia.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Me
either. Ezekiel 38:39.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gog and Magog. Urgency. Urgency. Jesus could come back tonight.
Yeah, He could.
Could come back tomorrow.
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you ready? We need to be ready. I wonder how many of us, let me back up, I wonder if there's someone here tonight that's not saved. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready. And if you've been in this church for a while, for any length of time at all. You've heard the gospel many times. If I were you, I'd get saved tonight.
Amen.
I'd get saved tonight.
Yes.
And if you're here and you're already saved, but you're not baptized and a member of an independent Baptist church, you are living in disobedience.
Right.
There are some things we don't pray about.
You're right.
You don't pray about obedience.
Right.
God says jump, you say how, you ask how high.
Right.
You don't even ask, you just start jumping.
Yep.
Baptism, first step of obedience for the Christians.
Yes.
Get baptized, join a church, and get busy for the Lord.
Yep.
Jesus is coming. I want to be ready. Urgency. This same Jesus. I tell you what, Americans are afraid. They're afraid. They want to build a mosque in New York City. They're having Islamic feast in the White House and with the mayor of New York City.
Yeah.
We have the answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This is more powerful than any atomic bomb that man could make. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. You know the problem with most of us? We don't believe it. Matthew chapter 28, when the disciples went to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them, when Jesus showed up, it says, the Bible says, verse 17, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Can I tell you our enemy tonight? Doubt. Stop doubting God. You say, oh man, I could never do what you do. Yes, you could if you stopped doubting God. Can I tell you what? There are times when I'm afraid, but I still go and I still pass out tracts. I can remember being in Siberia even before I learned the language. When I was walking down the street somewhere, there was a large group of young men, and they saw me coming, and I'm a foreigner. They could spot me a mile away, and I just prayed, Lord, help me, and I took a handful of Russian tracts out of my pocket, and I walked right into the group of them, because I had to go right that way, and I walked right in the middle of them, and I just started passing out tracts to all of them. And they kind of started laughing a little bit, and some of them spoke a little bit of English. And I found somebody that spoke English, and I said, tell these guys something for me. I said, there's a man up in that apartment up there that died just about 15 minutes ago. And I'm here to help these people with the funeral. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm here to help them with the funeral. I said, this man died 15 minutes ago, and I said, any one of you guys could be dead before morning. They weren't laughing. They weren't laughing. Folks, we're in a war. And Jesus is coming. And one day, as Christians, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give account of our lives. I'm not mad at anybody tonight, but I am mad at the devil. Because he has deceived so many people. So many people. Boy, I could go a long time, but I won't. But I will say this, I'm excited about what God has called me to do. We are just going to be back for about just another four more weeks from this Friday and headed back to Budapest, Hungary. And I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen there. It's only the beginning. I wonder what's going to happen here. I wonder what it will be like coming back here. Our youngest daughter, Lord willing, will graduate from Bible college in 2 years. Can you imagine that? Little Lydia. She was 2 years old when we started deputation. She's 20 years old now. She spent the summer in Russia. And she stopped in and visited us for about 10 days there in Budapest. And in fact, she'll be coming back to Ohio for the wedding. But she's down at Heartland there in Oklahoma.
Amen.
And I got 2 more years. Praise the Lord, my kids are serving God.
Amen.
Serving God. Parents, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you. Let your kids serve God.
Yeah.
Let your kids serve God. Let them go. Let them go. Many of us gave our children to God when they were born. Then we try to hang on to them.
Right.
You know? Let them go. I was so excited three years ago, when we had all this thing happen with Russia and new visa laws, we had to leave We helped our son get tickets. James was at Heartland at the time. He came to Russia for Christmas of 2007. We were back in America because of our visa situation. And our son James calls me and he said, "Dad, what should I do? I'm going to be going to Russia for the summer and you're going to be in the States." You know what I told him? I said, "If I were you, I'd go to Russia. Might be your last time." It wasn't his last time, but I said, "It might be your last time." I said, "I want the Russian people to know that my kids can serve God whether Dad is there or not."
Yeah.
And that's the same thing for our daughter Lydia. When our daughter Lydia wanted to go to Russia for the summer, I said, "Take off, and we'll help you." My little girl, flying all around the world, spending the summer. The exciting thing was, she already knows the language, and she could interpret for the missionaries already been there a while. That's exciting. That's exciting. Let your kids go to serve God. We better stop. The balance of missions, folks. Jesus is coming. Yeah. The last point is urgency. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. We must get ready. I think about the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I want to finish well. I pray that all the time. Lord, don't let me quit. Help me to finish well. I want to finish my course. And I want to run to the end. I don't know if you guys like NASCAR or not, but they tell me that The last few laps of the race, more engines are blown than in the whole race. It's a good illustration, isn't it? We don't need to be coasting to the finish line. We need to be going as fast as we can to meet the Lord. Full speed ahead, amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord Jesus, I pray, God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to finish well. Lord, there's so much work to be done. There's such need for witnesses all around the world. There's such need for Spirit-filled witnesses right here in Ravenna, Ohio. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Skyver and his wife, Lord, 20 years here in this church. Thank you for this church, Lord, that loves them and gave them such a surprise, Lord, this last Sunday. But Lord, if you should tarry another 10 years, another 20 years, God, I pray that you'd help us to do all we can to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Please, Lord, if anyone's not saved, Lord, help them to get saved tonight. And if any of the Christians are like in the book of Joshua that I read tonight, how long are we going to be slack about claiming all of the land that God has given us? God, forgive us of our slackness. Help us to go full speed ahead until Jesus comes. Lord, bless now the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. How many could say without a shadow of a doubt, "Preacher, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. And if I would die or the rapture would happen, I know I'm going to heaven." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. No doubt in my mind. Thank you. May put them down. Looked like every hand went up, but I could not. But maybe I missed someone. If you're here tonight and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to die and go to hell, and I sure don't want to be left behind. I'd like to be saved." Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Just raise your hand, put it back down. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Pray for me." Anyone like that today? Pray for me. And then one last thing, we're going to sing a verse. Maybe you're a Christian here today and you'd say, "Preacher, to be honest with you, I've not been going full throttle. I know we're at the end and I've kind of been laying back, and kind of taking time off from the Lord. I need to get back full throttle for God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes. 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 Yes, I see that. God bless you. Why don't we hit the altar tonight and say, God, help us. Heavenly Father, we know time is short. And we must be about your business. And we know that night cometh when no man can work. We know the sun's setting. The sun is setting. And one day we'll not be able to reach this whole world that needs Christ so dearly. Help us, Father. I'm thankful for Brother Pranger, Lord, that encourages not just to think about Americans, but for every person in the world, no matter where, what country they're from, no matter what nationality. Lord, you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You died for all men, all women of all nations, for all over the world. Help us. Help us to be burdened for all the world, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.